This is CliffCentral.com.
And finally, I'm where I wanna be.
Do you believe Robbie Williams that he loves his life and that he's where he wants to be and he's wonderful? Or do you think he protests too much? That's the song. You think it's right?
I think he is not any of those things. I think he looks at his tattoos and goes, oh, look at this disheveled body of mine.
Look, he used to be a big deal, huh?
He was huge.
Yeah, he did. Used to be a big deal.
There were women all over the world who wanted to be with Robbie Williams.
Massive. Well, there were women all over the world who were with Robbie. I mean,
Do you think he reached his peak in Take That, or do you think it was during his solo career in the beginning? Or
definitely solo career.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely what, solo.
I mean, rock the
like 2005, six. That was probably his.
I don't care how good looking you are. If you're Gary Barlow next to you, I mean, that's just that's the biggest cock block known to man. Obviously his solo career.
Yeah.
All right, Robbie Williams with I Love My Life. Well, there we go. You know, at least he's optimistic.
Nice.
Yeah, sure.
I have to be honest, I'd still zip into with Robbie.
You would?
Yes.
Oh, you say so too, Amanda?
Oh, totally.
No. But would he wreck your guts this year?
Well, no. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the tattoos or like the still kind of has that bad boy charm.
I think he's got a lot of money and the friends have kind of run up, dried up. So you're probably good company.
All right.
He's not my tips here.
Enough about Robbie Williams. It's not as important as the stuff we have to discuss in the news. Now, we went through quite a lot of news with Justice Malala, but there's always stuff that we leave behind, and there's a whole lot of mopping up we have to do, and luckily, Mabali's here to keep us filled in and informed.
But because we've covered all the heavy stuff, let's go on the opposite end of the spectrum, shall we?
Right.
I've got a bit of infidelity news for you.
Mm.
I've got... Star Wars Hotel coming soon. I've got stuff about...
A Star Wars Hotel?
Okay, so that's where we'll begin.
Please, let's start there. That sounds amazing.
Yes.
Tell us all about it.
Disney revealed a couple of days ago, in fact, more than a couple of days ago, that they have plans for a Star Wars immersive hotel.
Yay.
Hold on to your lightsabers. Disney are planning on this hotel being... massive. It's going to be a theme hotel, obviously.
I'm in.
Of course, you and Gareth are in. Due to open as part of the wholly anticipated Star Wars Land, which is being added to...
Star Wars Land. Mm.
It's being added to Disney World in Orlando.
Why do they have to put land and world at the end of everything? We know what it is. Just call it Star Wars.
Yeah, dummies. Then it's like, is it a movie? Is it a place?
Star Wars Land? What are you talking about? What are we, three?
Well, what are you going to call it then, Gareth?
Yeah.
You're going to Star Wars?
Yeah.
So the hotel will allow guests to go on their own adventures on a self-contained spaceship. You can just Google the kinds of images that, you know, the people planning this hotel have been putting out in terms of how they imagine this is going to be. But essentially what will happen is...
Yeah, count me in.
You as a guest will arrive there. And from the second you arrive, you will become a part of a Star Wars story.
Nice.
An actual storyline. Not only that, Ben, but you get to dress up in the proper attire as well.
Awesome.
I love it.
What if you arrive there looking like Jabba the Hutt and you want to be Luke Skywalker? Do they say, whoa, hang on a second.
Let's suck ahead of myself here. You'd be better at Jabba, ma'am.
You'd be better sitting in that cave for the next week.
Oh, shame.
So the emphasis is on total immersion. Guests will interact with characters, they'll go on adventures, they'll explore the galaxy. It is 100% immersive, and the story will touch every single minute of your day, and it will culminate in a unique journey for every person who visits.
This sounds like it'll cost 90 million rand.
Well, look, it's going to be part of Disney World, so it can't be that... It can't be so costly that parents don't ship their children over there as often as possible. Do you know what I'm saying?
I want to ship myself over there.
Yeah, well, that too.
All right, well, there we go. I mean, that sounds like an amazing place to go. Star Wars Land. there are some of us who will thoroughly enjoy that. Here are a couple of people with some comments before we move on. Morning team, you guys are awesome. I love the burning platform. Justice Malala is so well informed and fantastic. I listen every Thursday. With so much going on in politics, you might need to consider having him in for more than one time a week. Love the show, Stephen. Well, he's very in demand, our Justice.
He's quite busy, hey?
I mean, he's on TV, he's on cliffcentral.com, he's writing for the newspapers, he's a busy, busy man. Got a book out still, and if you want more, buy his book.
Yeah, and he often gets called up by, you know, some of the international news networks. Absolutely. When they're looking for a correspondent as well, so.
Right. I love, this is Kelly, she says, I love when Justice says old geezer. I haven't heard that term in many, many years. And I reckon an investigation into Transnet, Kucha, and East London Harbour would reveal a lot of rot too, says Charlie's Bird.
Oh yeah, East London's rotten.
I'd love to see some Guptas and Zumas in orange suits, says someone else. Ryan says, I stay in PE. The Eastern Cape seems to be fingers and toes of South Africa. The whole country is suffering and freezing, resulting in this area feeling most of the pain. Oh. We're freezing our fingers and toes off, according to Ryan. And someone else saying, you guys see the new Easy Equity site. The notes below each company are new, not cool. Well, yeah, we don't run that. We just, that's the platform we host hashtag invest on. But they do their own thing. It's their platform. So I'm not going to comment on that until I've seen it myself. And breaking news says, Greg, I know on good authority that that last shark that decided to be punched by the Australian didn't help its street cred. Sharks obviously are the most vicious animals, so someone is going to have to die. It was minuted in the last shark report, according to Greg.
Yeah, you can see what happens there. That shark gets sent back there every year. It's like, go fight him, you pussy. Get back in there. And he's like, well, I don't want to fight.
But it hurt. Like, oh, hurt.
Okay, well, sorry, you're still busy with messages.
No. Just Victor from Springs, who says, and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions. For three more minutes. All right, over to you, Mavs.
No, so in the last few minutes, I've discovered there was the one message that came through about the shark and the Australian, and we couldn't figure out what that person was trying to say. And I've just discovered in the last few minutes, it is that same Australian guy who punched that shark 2 years ago, who had another incident with the shark that Ben was talking about in the story.
Yeah, the shark wants to square off against him.
What are the odds of that? Fanning.
Yeah, Mick Fanning.
I would never step into water again.
Well, he got a cheap shot in the shark. The shark's like, bro, I wasn't even looking. And now he wants to have a proper square off.
Oh my gosh.
All right, who wants to play a game?
Oh.
Okay.
Is it called Punch the Shark?
I mean, what is it
No,
about?
It's the most politically incorrect game you could possibly imagine. Uh-huh. And we're going to have some fun with this morning. If you are easily offended, then this is your chance to stop listening to us and listen to something boring. We'll give you a moment to tune out. Are you ready? The rest of us.
I'm ready.
I don't know if you ever can be ready.
Well, as far as the rest of us are concerned, let's begin our game for this morning. Would you rather the Ugly Celebrity Edition?
Ah.
Right.
You only get one answer. You have to choose one or the other. You cannot give some long-winded explanation. We just want to hear your choice. Are you ready? First of all, would you rather make out with an animal or Susan Boyle? Ben, over to you. Any animal you like or Susan Boyle? Go on.
I'm going to say...
It's not bestiality if you're forced at gunpoint.
Right. Well, I guess I'd go with an animal. I regret saying that instantly.
Do we cheer to that?
Mabali, would you rather have sex with a donkey or Marilyn Manson?
Yes. I don't subscribe to anything that involves animals. So my
Marilyn Manson.
My answer is always going to be the human.
Yeah, with you it was like gut-wrenching. Mine was at least a kiss.
Sia, would you rather massage a frog's toes?
Ew.
Or Meatloaf's toes?
Oh, frogs.
Yeah.
Listen.
All right.
Toe jam is not my vibe.
Amanda, would you rather cuddle a cat or Mr. T? Who's it going to be?
Oh, no, a cat, eh?
A cat rather than Mr. T. Yeah. All right, very good. There we go. Would you rather rob a bank for billions or sleep with Donald Trump for billions?
I'm robbing the bank. Oh. I'm robbing the bank and risking being locked up. Billions and billions and billions.
Would you rather, Mubs, shower with Jacob Zuma or with Jay-Z?
The rapper?
Yeah.
Well, obvious. Yeah. I'm showering with the rapper.
Why? Mara, why? Come, yeah. We can have a lot of fun. All right. Would you rather, Ben, let Gary Player teach you to golf from behind or Ernie Els?
Oh, yes, Ben, yes.
Two really good-looking golfers there.
Obviously, it'd be Gary Player. Well, just for obvious reasons. Plus,
it's not gay if it's Mr. Gary.
It's not gay if Gary's behind you.
Listen, Gary would. I think he probably doesn't like gay antics anyway. But I did see Gary doing a backflip into the water.
I know.
At this age, is this a recent thing?
He Instagrammed the hell out of it.
On Instagram, he's backflipping off a boat.
How old is he? 80.
He's old.
He's 80 something years old. He was doing a backflip off a boat into the water.
He's so old. I'm just amazed his scrotum didn't hit the water first. But this is how incredible this man is.
Wow.
As I keep saying,
I can.
I just got visuals of that.
Ben's quite funny, hey?
Okay, you guys made it seem like it was like. Sorry, that's kind of pathetic.
Jesus,
well, he's still giving it a go. Listen. Obviously, he lands in his head, but he's still giving it a go.
All right, here's a good one, Sia.
Yes,
Sia. Would you rather have sex with a cow or with Donatella Versace?
They're both leathery, so I don't see much of a difference.
All right, would you rather get a tattoo of a turd or kiss David Schwimmer?
Oh, David Schwimmer's from Friends.
Yes.
Yeah, Ross.
Me, I'm going to kiss Ross.
Okay.
Just one light peck.
All right, well, here's the final...
It used to be a hot and heavy...
The final question. Would you rather ride a horse or Caitlyn Jenner?
I mean, how are we riding, Caitlyn?
Yeah, we're full on. You've got to do the whole thing.
Yep, I'd stick to my horse.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, come on, choose the... You know the right answer.
Oh, Caitlyn.
Oh, come on. It's going to be great.
Oh, you still don't have that voice thing.
Oh, I love it when you talk dirty.
You still don't have that voice thing under control, eh?
I got the voice perfectly under control.
That's not what I'm hearing, Caitlin.
Come on, ride me.
No thanks.
Ride me like a pony. I once won the Olympics.
Yes, you did.
You can imagine my muscles.
All right, thank you, Caitlin. Get out of here.
Whoa.
Yes.
No,
I hope
you
enjoyed playing along with our politically incorrect game this morning. Who would you rather be with? And many options of bestiality chosen over some of the ugly celebrities of this world.
Well, nobody actually admitted to having coitus with an animal.
I'm saying people admitted they would rather.
Ben, we know that you chose the animal over Susan Boyle.
Yeah, it's a kiss.
Yeah, get over it, Ben.
Let's be honest. Some animals seem like gentle lovers, you know?
I don't know.
My belly's just moved away from Sia. No. She's just moved.
I would like to know how you know that or how you even guess that.
All right, well, let's move
on. What kind of Discovery Channel stuff are you watching?
Let's move on.
Yeah!
Let's get on to some other stuff.
Okay.
Please.
So we often talk about first impressions, right, and how important they apparently are.
Yes.
Well, Amy Cuddy is a psychologist at the Harvard Business School and has been studying first impressions for more than a decade. So you'd think, oh, well, maybe she's qualified to talk about this avenue of things. And according to her and her study, these are the snap judgments people make when they first meet you.
All right, let's hear it. I'm ready.
She and her colleagues found that we make snap judgments about other people that answer two primary questions.
Mm-hmm.
The first important question that we need to have answered is, can I trust this person? And then the second one is, can I respect this person's capabilities?
Huh.
How dare you?
Okay, all right, calm down.
According to Cuddy's research, 80 to 90% of a first impression is based on these two traits, and it all happens on a subconscious level. You and the people you meet are asking yourselves, can I trust this person has good intentions towards me? And is this person capable? Now, we often assume that competence is the most important factor, and people have a tendency to play this up when they meet someone. However, Kadi's research shows that trust is the most important factor. In order for your competence to matter, people must trust you first.
That's amazing.
If there is no trust, people actually perceive competence as a negative. And according to Kadi, a warm, trustworthy person who is also strong elicits admiration. But only after you've achieved trust does your strength become a gift rather than a threat.
That's interesting. So if you establish trust with someone first, then everything that comes afterwards they like about you. If you don't have trust, they actually see those things as negatives because you might use them against them. Huh. It's so primitive.
It is.
But it's good though, right? I mean, now we're figuring out the psychology of how you should go into a meeting, for example. How you should interact with someone you're dating for the first time.
Mm.
All of this stuff. Establish trust. Let that person trust you. And obviously, we're not saying con them.
Yeah.
Try to be a trustworthy person.
But I'm sure this varies from person to person. Like, what do you guys, or just even superficially, what do you first look out for when you meet someone new?
Well, it depends. So, if the who are you meeting? Are you talking about a potential love interest? Are you talking about a work relationship? Are you talking about no? Like, which environment are you in?
Because for me, just in general, I have two things that I judge people on: first impressions.
Yes.
It's always your breath.
No,
how close you get to people straight away.
I'm telling you, if you
straight away see a ghost,
the halitosis, you aren't in my circle. Or not even like to have some grand perfume or cologne, but if you have some level of body odor, then no bueno.
Not good, right?
Yeah, true. You must present yourself
exactly.
Like, and also be on time.
So for you, smell is a major thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Punctuality is key.
All right, that's kind of superficial. I think what Mabali is talking about here is psychologically. What is it about once you start talking to someone, you've already encountered them?
I get that. But if you can't,
psychology of not caring,
if you can't manage yourself to get to a place at a certain time, it says a lot about you.
So for you, punctuality and
so
time
no matter what they say after that, if they can't be at a certain spot, if they're late, they either don't prioritize you or they're just completely disorganized. So whatever they say after that, well, they could be lying. They probably are lying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you see, this research is actually very interesting for me because I... All right, so we all know that I'm a pessimist.
Do you easily trust, though?
No, I don't. I deliberately try to go out of my way to not trust anybody because of the eventuality that they will let you down at some point.
Yeah, but you're letting someone down by just thinking that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's me, is I don't want to trust anyone.
So what do you look out for?
What's wrong with y'all? You niggas are crazy.
I mean, I tend to agree with Ben on punctuality. That you know, the whole punctuality thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's an important factor.
Yeah, because it's all about respect. Then, so they're saying to you, "I respect you enough to be on time at the place we said we'd meet, because I value your time and mine." It's a very simple thing to get right. First thing first. I would never hire anyone who was late for a meeting.
Well, you'd judge them from the word go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, what you're really saying, we've discussed this 1,000 times when you pitch up late to a meeting with someone, is your time isn't as important as mine. I'm late, you must just deal with it. I don't care what you've done to fill in the time in between.
See, now, as a person who is late kind of regularly, in my head...
That's not my experience of you. You're usually on time for things.
Give or take.
We're not talking socially, by the way.
Yes.
Socially, you have a little more leeway. But in terms of work, professionally,
yes,
you should be on time for things. In fact, you should try to be early.
But I know in certain instances, I've literally been like 5-7 minutes late to a meeting because I was in the parking lot freshening up and I was, you know,
Yeah, get your breath and everything. That's
exactly. And so,
so desperate to make a good impression. There's deodorant and cologne and breath spray and all kinds of things going on.
So the intention isn't to, you know, not say your time is important, but I want to make a good impression for you when I walk in.
A good impression by your standards.
Oh, you see, that's the problem. Yeah.
It's important that you're on time. So Ben and Mabale and I agree that time is important. Sia still thinks breath and body odor need to be controlled. Amanda, what are the important first impression rules with you?
I'm going to say time. Yeah.
You're agreeing with us on the whole trying to be on time for things.
Yeah, no, I think it's like, I think it can be really rude if you're late. Especially if you've given the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say be here at 8 and I'm there at 8 and you're not there.
Yeah.
I think that's
terrible. Okay.
See, that's why I'm a big-ish person. I'll be there at 11-ish. That means 11 right up until 11:59.
But that already means that you think there's something more important than this person.
Mm-mm.
Completely.
See, that's not my intention.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's true.
That's what we read.
See,
that's
like, we just think you're disrespectful. Full stop.
It's like the test is always, if I said, Sia, I'm going to give you a Ferrari. And you go, yeah, I'll be there 10-ish. You'll be like, what time can I be there? And you'll be there like at 10.
Uh-huh. You won't be late for that.
Yeah. You won't be late. You won't ish me about that.
Yeah,
I hear you.
So if we had to reverse the situation and I asked you, what first impression do you think people get from you?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that now.
I actually asked a few of my friends, but I specifically asked guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so like I'm conducting like a little, you know, informal research. Like, can you remember what you initially thought when you first met me?
Bitches, please.
And the responses I got ranged from unapproachable, intimidating, and one even said, I thought that you had a resting bitch face.
Why don't you get a motherfucking life, bitch? You've been raggedy since Lil' Kim first came out, and your ass is still raggedy.
But I'm that person. Like when we're in a group dynamic here in the office, and something is happening, yeah, I'm the first person to go and find a corner that I can hide in with the hope that nobody notices me so that I don't have to interact with people.
I know people who've come in here and they didn't know Mabale, and they said, oh, we know Mabale from the show, and they would go up to her and say, hi, Mabale, and she would want to hide under the table, and she's just not happy to meet anybody. She sits there with a really, really, like, angry or busy or disconnected look on her face. She's not trying to be horrible. That's just her setting.
Yes, thank you. That is that's my setting. It's like meeting people for me is just it's a lot.
Stressful.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Stressful for her.
But also you don't want to talk to people after the show here. We've been talking to each other for 3 hours. You get out of here like, oh,
you're exhausted. But I do try to make people look. I don't know what kind of impression I give, but usually when people meet me, they say, it was nice to meet you. And I don't know whether they're being honest or not. I can only hope.
Mm-hmm.
What I also know is that there's a reputation that precedes me, which is not always good. And this worries me.
Because then you have to match that reputation at times.
Well, no, I have to actively work against it because people will have seen me on TV telling some Idols contestant that they are no good, and they'll assume I'm a horrible person. Because, you know, some people think that you've got to be nice to everybody all of the time rather than be honest.
See, but unfortunately for you, you can't manage that. Like,
the other, no, I can't. There's
like,
nothing I
like
can
the
do.
Other day, this guy rocks up, okay, and he wants to play Gareth a song. He's, the last thing in Gareth's world involves some stranger singing a song to him. And that's not him being mean. That's just him going, why the hell would I want that? And he said,
and how can I help you? Because like, I'm not, I don't work for a record company. Yeah. I'm not going to put your song on the radio. There's nothing I can do for you. So this is going to be a waste of your time from the get-go. Let's not do this.
So your first impression of him is obviously going to be negative. The thing is, he has given you like no options, no choice to ever make a good first impression.
I'm screwed either way.
Mm. Yeah, completely.
You see, that is the difficulty that I imagine comes with being a celebrity is... And if you specifically think about like big names, like Hollywood names,
yeah,
fans also approach these people with this, you know, with this idea in their minds that you owe it to me to be nice to me.
I've watched your movies.
Because I am your fan.
Yeah. I've watched your movies.
I have all your music.
I bought your t-shirt. Yes.
And if it wasn't for your fans, you wouldn't be who you are.
Bullshit.
But it is bullshit. These people don't owe you anything.
No, you decided to be a fan. They didn't decide to find you and make you a fan.
I get that, but I don't think it's as superficial as that. Like, you owe me something.
Listen, if you go up to Justin Bieber while he's shopping for shoes, and you say, oh my God, Justin, I want a picture, I want an autograph, and he says to you, look, piss off, I'm buying shoes,
you're going to take that very personally.
You're going to think, what a piece of shit this Justin Bieber is.
Because I don't see Justin Bieber, a person who is just shopping for shoes. I'm seeing a person who got me through a breakup.
Right.
And now is crying in the fetal position with my thumb in
but
my mouth.
But he doesn't know that.
And I listen to
As far as he's concerned, you're a pain in the backside and he's there to shop for shoes. He's not interested in your emotional well-being. It's not his responsibility. I know, this is the problem. Mm. So whenever we meet anyone, forget about celebrities, you meet anybody, you arrive at that meeting with massive amounts of baggage and background. And I'm not talking about some coincidental bump into somebody. I'm saying if there's someone you really need to meet and you meet them for the first time and you arrive with major baggage and major backstory and context and they don't, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah, I remember there was one person in particular who's in our social circles that I met, who I had already known about for a while before, and I had this idea in my head, and we met, and I realized she's a smoker, and that's what I was like, what?
Gross. Did it put you off?
You smoke.
Yeah, you see now.
Totally did.
She didn't arrive there to impress you.
Absolutely.
And she certainly didn't arrive to show you that she didn't smoke or to make you think that she's better than
but
she is.
But I had my preconceived idea of like, you are so amazing. You're perfect. You are just.
Well, you don't like smokers.
Yeah.
I think we're all so messed up.
To summarize,
we're all so messed up. We cannot be objective. And maybe that's okay. Maybe we should stop trying to be objective. Accept that we are full of fallacies and preconceived notions and bullshit. That every time you meet someone, it's going to be weird. Like Mabali avoids meeting people. It's awkward and traumatic for her. She doesn't enjoy it. Maybe she's right. Don't meet people. Stay in your lane. Don't go near anyone else. Just avoid social contact of any kind. Huh? How lonely would you be?
Oh, no, I'm fine with that, though, because that's what makes us human. You know, I've stopped using terms like, oh, I don't mean to be emotional, but no, we are emotional because we are humans. Like,
yeah.
That's it.
Embrace that stuff.
So I am going to be disappointed when I find out someone's
I got to say, though, that Sia's actually one of the people who's the most... You're so comfortable around people.
Mm.
You are able to go up to people, whether they're important, whether they're influential, whether they're weird looking, whether they're extremely small or extremely tall. Sia goes up to people and he's the same with everybody, which I think is a huge advantage.
As long as they have good breath and they don't have bad
body odor. I haven't seen someone come in here with bad body odor and bad breath and you run the other way screaming, yet it might happen.
And also 9 times out of 10, you know, people who meet Sia for the first time immediately fall in love with him.
Yeah.
So I think he's that kind of person that you leave a good impression.
Delightful
have a good
for my ego.
First impression.
I'm joking.
Get real. Get fucking real.
All right. Calm down. Not everybody. Clearly that guy doesn't like
Sia. Exactly.
I'm just intrigued by the fact that trust is the first thing in Mabali's story. Trust is what you need to establish first. If someone thinks that you are trustworthy, all the other stuff starts flowing in. All right, what else do we need to know this morning?
Oh, well, guys.
Misha Barton, any updates?
You know, this is another train wreck, really. A bit of an ach shame goes out to O.J. Simpson. So a few weeks ago, I discussed the fact that he could possibly be granted parole and could be released as early as October the 1st. Well, right now, current reports allege that his parole bid could be derailed because he was caught masturbating in his cell.
But
shame.
What else is he gonna do? That's like the least offensive thing he could do in the cell.
But this is supposedly a federal lockup no-no. So this
What else are you gonna do in jail?
Masturbating is strictly forbidden at Lovelock Correctional Service.
Lovelock.
I know. I'm like, come on.
What is this?
In Lovelock, what are you meant to do?
Oh, that's incredible. Really?
Yep. This is based in Nevada. And so this is where O.J. Simpson has been locked up with his...
Oh, yes. Oh.
for his sentence between 9 to 33 years. And this is, by the way, still for the armed robbery of two sports memorabilia dealers. And by the way, this isn't the first time that he's sort of in hot water with something that could actually derail his parole bid. The first time was a few months ago when he was caught munching on a cookie.
No, this is ridiculous.
Ridiculous, petty little things.
Yeah, but this is also karma, right, guys. This is karma.
No, come on, Ben. This is very unfair. I don't like this.
So it's against the Nevada Department of Corrections policy to release inmates' disciplinary history to the public, the prison said. So we can't exactly confirm this, but TMZ rightfully says that this could be something that could really taint his opportunities to be released in October. So, ach shame, OJ. Ach shame.
Our super fan and member of the founding family, Mfundo, has just messaged me to say he's very excited. Well, I assume that's because the Bucks is headed his way. The show Bucks for June is the prize of Mfundo, which I know Amanda sent off from the post office yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it should reach you ASAP, Mfundo.
Ben, how do you feel not using your Pooh Brown mug anymore?
Yeah, there's been a gap in my life here.
Oh, Mfundo, we want pictures of you using the Pooh Brown mug to taunt Ben with.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's a bit of a hole in my heart, but this is how you move on in life, I guess.
Here is an important message from Stephen. He says, punctuality is key. I agree with you guys. Being in business development in my industry, you rock up late, you're telling the other party that they're working around your flexi time. And the first and sustained impression is that you are a disrespectful bastard. And coming back from that is impossible. That's Stephen. Cindy says, speaking of the idols, Gareth, and the preconceived opinions, my one sister, in inverted commas, can't stand Gareth. And of course, I'm your greatest fan. I'm slowly converting her. Lol. Well, you know, again, you make up an impression about someone you see on TV for 5 minutes, and you're going to let that stick around you for the rest of your life. I kind of feel sorry for you if that's the case. I don't. None of these people on TV care about you, and you don't need to care about them. Unless they're in your life, it's crazy to have like a serious opinion about them. Oh, that Simon Cowell is such a piece of crap.
But we all
unless
do
you
it,
know
though.
Him, unless he's done something to you, reserve that anger for the people in your life who cheat on you, who steal from you, who get in your way in traffic. I mean, to hate someone on television.
But isn't it technically what we do? What we all do.
I don't hate anyone.
Well, not even with hate, just passing judgment, though. We can say,
well, of course you've got to be judgmental, because it allows you to be entertaining. and also, being judgmental is the primary survival technique. You judge because, again, the trust stuff that Mabali was talking about, that used to be an important decision in keeping you alive. If you hung around a tribe or a certain person in the tribe who was dangerous, and they killed you when you turned your back on them, you had no one to blame but yourself. So it was survival.
So someone who literally has got your back.
You had to judge. You had to go, whew, this Ben looks very dodgy. I'm going to stick to my lane, and I'm going to stay away from Ben. I'm going to keep my back to the rocks when Ben is around. And that kept you alive. If you didn't judge Ben, you went, oh, everybody loves me. Happy bunny in the field of clovers. Then guess what happens to you?
Dagger in your back.
Dagger in your back, or a saber-toothed tiger eats you, or a rock suspiciously falls on you when the rest of the tribe is up on the hilltop. Yeah, things happen.
Man, it must have been tough. You know those determining factors back in the day.
What
if
you
your
know,
hands
what you,
weren't big enough,
here's
you're
the
gone.
Thing. What you know for sure about your ancestors is that they were crafty and sly and didn't trust anybody. Your
basically Mabale.
Your ancestors, yes. Mabali is an example of what all your ancestors were like. That's how they survived. Trust me, if they were nice people, you wouldn't be here.
Oh man, this just
I mean it. Like all the nice humans are dead. All of them.
No, I come from a happy camp.
Listen, you
all
may
of
think,
them.
Guys, you may think you're a great person, and you might be. Who knows? You might not survive, but you might be a great person. To get here, to this point in your evolution, most of, not all, but most of your ancestors were selfish pricks interested in their own survival above all else. Because trust me, they wouldn't have made it otherwise.
Oh, man.
So just remember that when you sit there and you feel all virtuous and you think you're a good person, you care about others and everything else. Just think about how you got here, because it wasn't by being nice. If your ancestors were overly consumed with being nice.
Yes.
You wouldn't have made it. Your genes wouldn't have made it. You'd have been crushed.
Survival of the fittest, as Darwin put it.
Right, think about that.
This has just crushed my life now.
Oh, Sia.
Crushed everything
I'm
about.
Don't worry, Sia, it's not the end
so
of the world.
So they weren't singing Kumbaya, holding hands by the campfire?
There was never a time. There was... And again, like, this is also why racism is stupid, is because all races were killing themselves and each other with gay abandon.
Mm.
There was never a time in human history until recently. Now, you're living in the best time where we all kumbaya'd. Never. All those people who talk about the great Earth Mother and everyone dancing around the fire together, singing songs and talking about the happy times. There were no happy times.
Oh, jeez. So these are the happy times?
The reason there was a fire is because they were burning a witch in it. And that witch, that witch might have been a very nice person who was misunderstood.
Who was misjudged.
Who just happened to be walking, you know, she was, in the night.
Yeah, she was walking from her hut. She was walking from her hut to take a pee. And she was squatting in the bushes, and she was going, oh, so tired. And then someone heard that and went, she's casting a spell. Next thing, they're burning her in the middle of the village. And everyone, all your ancestors, are busy cheering as they burn this poor old lady. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, she was put in the fire, and they said, if she screams, she's a witch. And then she screamed because she was in the fire. And they were like, see, we told you she was a witch.
Yeah. The July Bucks hopefully coming to Craig in Cape Town. He says he's got his entries in. Alan Ford is very excited to tell us what's going on his show today. We'll find out in a moment or two what that is. Punctuality is still a big issue for a lot of people. Anushka says, I love Sia. I woke up in the middle of the night a couple of weeks ago and checked my Instagram. I saw Sia's failed attempt to sing a song. I liked the song, but not his rendition.
Trust me, it wasn't the only failed attempt.
I DM'd Sia to ask him the name of the song, and he responded within minutes. It was Tiggy by Sand. Sia is cuck cool. How's that?
Failed attempt. We could choose a different word.
Ah, please, it was failed attempt. Come on. All right, what else do we need to know?
Well, Gareth, U.S. Senator John McCain, former prisoner of war and the maverick 2008 Republican presidential
nominee. Also the guy who can't lift his hands above his shoulders.
Well, also who's now been diagnosed with brain cancer, announced yesterday.
It really doesn't rain, it pours, huh?
Yeah, he's 80 years old. And apparently what had happened was he'd undergone surgery to remove a blood clot from above his left eye in the last week. And then tests revealed that a primary brain tumor was associated with the blood clot.
Oh, my God. This poor man.
Yeah. So, you know, the senator and his family will now be reviewing further treatment options. But, yeah, it's a
Go on. Here it is. This is the word we've been waiting for all morning, everybody.
I don't know if it's glio or glioblastoma.
No, try it again. From the top, Mubs. And action.
Glioblastoma.
None of us, I think, are in a position to dispute.
I am not a doctor. No one here is a doctor.
Yeah.
It is of the same category of cancer that led to the death of... Ted Kennedy, who died back in 2009 at the age of 77. But this isn't John McCain's first bout with...
I died from banging Marilyn Monroe. I'm sorry, I didn't die from that. I just did that. I needed you to know.
Yeah, right.
I'm Uncle Ted.
Yes. So how many Kennedys actually were with Marilyn?
My brother, Bobby, who was shot in the head. My brother, John, who was shot in the head.
Right.
And me, who had brain cancer.
Right.
We all banged the hell out of Marilyn Monroe.
Did you all compare notes afterwards?
Of course.
Right.
We all said she was a whore.
Oh, well, you know what, Ted? In 2017, women are not whores. They just...
you know I killed a whore.
They're just enjoying their lives.
I once drove, I had three bottles of Chivas and drove a whore over a bridge in Chappaquiddick.
Yeah, Ted. I mean, that kind of makes you...
It's a true story.
Well, it also makes you a despicable
human... I also only reported that she was in the car at the bottom of the river.
That's right.
About 4 days later.
So you were a despicable human being
I had to sleep off the hangover. Don't be unreasonable.
Unreasonable? You got away after somebody died.
Who the hell are you? I'm Ted Kennedy.
And you?
My brother was president of the United States, and I was a senator, and my brother was a senator, and my father was ambassador to Britain.
And your father had your sister lobotomized.
That's true.
Oh.
Rosemary, we cut out the front of her brain.
I mean,
because she was horny and was fingering herself at the dining room table.
Again, Ted, in 2017, we call that mental illness.
We had important guests at the dining room table. And they asked, what is wrong with Rosemary? And my father said, just ignore her. We'll strap her to the horses outside and take her off to hospital.
And you all thought that was okay, did you?
Well, of course. My brother wanted to be president one day. He couldn't have a sister fingering herself at the dining room table.
But, I mean, you know, again, in 2017, women fingering themselves is just a form of masturbation, which is also allowed.
At the dining room table, for God's sake. She was retarded.
Yeah. You know, some people, again, Ted, we
don't really... Don't bring up this 2017 thing. I died a long time ago, and when I was alive, this was an appropriate way to talk about people.
I know, but I'm just letting you know how things have changed since you left, because, you know, using words like retarded is also not something that...
Do you know my one nephew was such a retard? He skied into a tree.
Oh, Ted, he had an accident, Ted.
My other nephew, John, was such a retard, he flew his plane in the fog. He flew his plane with his girlfriend, and he crashed his girlfriend and her sister.
Ted, why do you think it is that so many members of your family were taken out in the ways that you were?
Because we were Catholic.
Is that why you all died?
That's right. Because it was a conspiracy. People don't like Catholics in America. We are victimized.
You are victimized?
Wow. By many people.
Oh.
For example, that girl in the car.
The one that you killed?
She was against me. She was the one who was responsible.
For her own death?
Well, she shouldn't have been in the car.
I don't know, Ted. You should have been drinking and driving.
That's maybe a good point, but nobody arrested me. I didn't go to prison.
Yeah, it helped that your name was Kennedy, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to know more about Marilyn Monroe and how hard we banged her?
No, you know what, Ted? We've got to keep it moving on our side, but we do love it
like
when you...
a swing door in a hurricane.
All right, okay.
Ba, 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 ba.
There we go.
And then we made her sing Happy Birthday, Mr. President afterwards.
Oh, yes.
And she loved it.
And she loved it.
Actresses will do anything for a bit of fun. All whores.
Why don't you look at the time? Woo.
Sorry, Ted. I had to step out to the bathroom for a second there. I apologize. Yeah. What did he say?
What didn't he say?
All right, let's get to Alan Ford, everybody. It's time for the co-host of the Unview.
Alan, you're the co-host now.
I know. Good morning, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Al.
What a great week.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I went on...
Mandela Day.
You were very helpful, Al. You brought toys for the kids. Now, listen, this guy's a good guy. He brought buckets and spades for the sand pit. He brought these toys that they could ride on, these little, what do you call them?
Like you built those toys?
Like a seesaw type thing. Yeah,
we built the toys. We were very poor at it.
Yeah, we didn't do that so well because mostly Alan didn't bring any tools to help build the toys.
It was expected that the tools from a certain shop would be there. That's why they have a shop.
Okay.
Sorry. Just a thought, Ben.
Don't be a bitch. All right, Al. Watch him.
Sorry.
So what's happening on the Unview
today? We have a great show today. But firstly, well done to everybody. And, of course, everyone in South Africa who did a good job.
Yes.
Doing good for others.
And Mandela Day. You knew and met Nelson Mandela at least a few times.
We both did. And we had the... You know, Gareth, I found a photo. I didn't put it up. But of us handing over that check and the card to him on his at his stairs in Houghton. Do you remember when we did that some 17 years ago?
Sure.
Yeah, 16 years ago. And thinking that we were back doing something in his name was quite cool, actually. There's a picture of us handing this big card with Yusuf Abramji and Aki.
You went to that big 80th birthday of his,
85th, yeah.
85th.
And No, I don't know if it was a couple of them, but I went to the 85th, which was really fun.
That was the big one where Oprah was.
Oprah and the Clintons. It was really cool. And
everybody.
And when everyone was chomping on their food and the biggest noise was being made, the musical act, the background music.
Wasn't it Nathan Rowe who was performing?
No, the background music was The Cause.
Oh, The Cause.
The Cause.
Casually?
They were the during dinner, yeah, while people are clinking their knives.
Not headline act at the celebration.
What was that song of theirs again?
I don't know, but they're saying
Nathan knows it. Come
God
on,
God only knows what I'd be without.
They're saying that they're the Queen's Boys.
But they sang that.
Right, what was that? What's their song?
Go on, go on,
clink, clink, clink. Eat your food. Ignore the cause.
And I sat at their table, so I had like these empty chairs. I don't know who's sitting at this table. I thought, how rude! They put me in the.
They put you with the
last table.
They put you with the help.
Knew the cause.
Fun. Alan, you're the only one. What? Alan, you're the only one who was excited to sit next to the brother.
Oh. No, I was. Just
no one ever cared about that guy.
I know.
And
right?
Then Naomi Campbell was at the table as well.
You were also friends with her for a while, didn't you? Have her number and everything.
She was quite crazy, actually.
Like as in the Naomi Campbell.
Yeah. Al knows people. He knew people.
Gareth also met her with. Do you remember we met her at the Hilton? When she came to South Africa.
Did we have a conversation?
We did. We sat at her table. I have photos.
What did you and BFF Naomi Campbell like?
I cannot tell you, but I saved her ass one day. One day I'll tell you a story that is going to blow you away.
He's going to have to wait till she's dead before he tells
you. I can actually tell the story now. So,
but no, let's build up to this.
I go off to do frock and roll. With Madiba. In Barcelona. And Naomi. Hosting the event, this big rock concert. Wyclef Jean is there, Kate Moss, whom I did kiss, actually. I had photos. Okay. It's true, you know. There you are. There he's not a word of a lie.
Wow, that was in the Would You Rather game earlier, wasn't it?
I know. Al McPherson, Macy Gray, it was quite a bunch of, and Bono, they were all there.
Yes.
And she hosted this concert. We sat at the Art Hotel, and here, this is what happened. Zelda Lachance needed a bit of help, and I ran up because they had a press conference in the penthouse, this double-story penthouse at the top of the Arts Hotel, which is a tall building,
yes,
in Barcelona. And it's the first time I ever saw this in my life. But I walked into the apartment to give Naomi some of the pointers that she had to say, because I was just helping them out, simply helping them. They were all in a bit of spot of trouble.
And she went,
there, oh, Alan.
I saw on the table was a block of cocaine.
A block?
I have never seen cocaine in my life. Mm-hmm. Her face was so full of white powder.
Like Al Pacino in Goodfellas.
His name was Dario. He says, you've got to fix this chick up. She's finished. She's finished. She's falling all over the place. She's crying. She doesn't know what's going on. And Madiba's about to arrive.
And how long did you have?
Literally 10 minutes, because I wanted to give her the brief. So I said, just change the press conference from upstairs to downstairs, because we won't do it in her room. I mean, the media's supposed to come. It's crazy. It is crazy. And this is the... And I just thought, what do I do? How do I just... And I thought, let me just... There was a spare. There was a guest lavatory in this penthouse.
Yeah,
just flash it.
A big
I'd
brick.
Never seen. It was like this big. It was, let's say, the size of a half a bar one, but which is a sort of brick in it.
That is not the visual I had when I saw still, when he said brick.
And then I just thought, and I flashed it down the toilet, and the whole toilet started bubbling. To this day, I still have never seen coke in my life, and I've never touched it before, but I actually had to throw it down the toilet. It was quite horrific.
So how did you clean her up?
She was shocking. She was late for the press. Madiba sat there at the press conference with Alexander McQueen was there, everyone, and she arrived a half an hour late and said that she was at a hospital. We'd seen the kids, she was lying. True story. And do you know that story about her name was Rebecca White, who was her assistant, who took her to court. But it was that week that she actually took herself and then she lobbed it at her. And it almost hit her in the head and knocked her out.
Wow.
She was so abusive, she tried to strangle her, actually. It's true. Seriously. Not a word. I could write books about
this thing. See, Alan knows some good stories.
No, that is quite crazy. I cannot lie. But, yes, and you remember that when I did that visit.
I didn't go with you.
Yes, with Gareth Steinhobel and Shaluza Maxim Tambo. And, yeah, that was... some years ago.
Wow, but,
well, we did quite a bit of, and you know, I bumped into this week. You're gonna laugh.
Who
was Mandela, the Madiba, the new His Royal Highness HRH.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
This card says HRH.
Kosi Zwelivele.
I know. Yes, exactly. And he's now an MP, and he said we must come and join him for for dinner sometime in Cape Town. But the funniest thing, Gareth, is that Gareth and I used to go to the house. Mm. And remember, first year, we always used to laugh. We could never, not like we were drinkers, but we would have orange juice and we would sit and have popcorn and watch movies. Yeah. And Madiba used to be walking in the garden. There he is. It's true. That's true. Oh, there's Gareth.
Y'all have lived.
We got stories to tell.
Sometimes you'd turn around and he'd be standing behind the sofa and he'd be watching what you're watching.
100%. You're like, there he is.
Jesus, this is the most famous man in the world.
And we're watching.
Yeah.
Ah, what are you doing? What are you doing, Mandla? Yeah. What are you doing? Yeah. There he is.
All right. Well, there we go.
Well, we've got a great
lots
show.
Lots of stories from Elle. Get back to your goddamn show.
A promo. All right.
Actress, singer, comedian Tracy Lee Oliver from the Kings and Queens of Comedy comes into studio.
Excellent.
Then actor from Break Your Face, Robert Hobbs. Brilliant. He's worked with Clint
Break
Eastwood.
Your Face?
Yeah, that's a new show.
It's very aggressive.
It's a show about a motivational speaking bouncer 21 years later.
Oh, wow.
But he's coming. He's going to be on the line, but we're going to talk to him. He lives half the time in Los Angeles. He's worked with, just did a film with Denzel Washington. Hmm. He's worked with the likes of Clint Eastwood, many others. We'll chat to him about that.
He's definitely seen a brick of cocaine before.
I don't know about that. And then Wesley Swain Lauder, who's in a show called The Mystery of Irma Vep, is also joining us.
So sick.
And then, of course, we've got the wonderful Nathan Rowe, who's going to play some fabulous music on the ukulele, and we're going to get people to sing. He's got his uke with him, and it's going to be lots of fun. Of course, this is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The...
Fabulous.
We are fabulous.
I think it's very cheeky that you call yourselves The Thin.
Power, death to America.
Final question, have you read Sumizi's book?
No, tell me about Sumizi's book.
Who's Elle? Read Sumizi's book?
Unbreakable. I still haven't.
It's very thin.
Who wants to read it? How would you describe it, Elle? You've read it.
Sold out.
There are a lot of people who want to read that
book. I have read it. I bought it. And I didn't get it for free. First, it's a very light read.
So does he put the thin... Did he put the thin?
Yeah, that's the thin rich. The book is that.
Did he credit you with his entry into radio?
No, you nor I. It doesn't matter. Or reader. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
So what did he talk about in the book?
But you know, it's interesting. He talks about his downfalls and his rise to success and comebacks. But it's very interesting. It's as though he runs. He's like a ghetto Tim Robbins, not Anthony Robbins. You know, he's like Deepak Chopra from the ghetto. In a very weird way. Gay T-Pack.
Yes, yeah, no, she's going to process that.
I don't know how to take that.
We're going to process it. We'll have our people get back to you later.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting... You must read the book. It's about hardships and unbreak... But it's had a lot of thin hardships.
So he's like on that motivational tip, is what you're saying.
It is. It's how to do it. So basically, if you're from Garcia and you're really struggling how to... Hook yourself up, because that's how he did it. Very intriguing, very interesting. So yeah, nice photos.
Okay.
Carl says, according to Alan's story, Mandela asked for singing during the main chorus.
Chorus. Okay, that's.
And then Gab's just reminding me that Stoffel's latest video in Stoffel's chair is up on cliffcentral.com. And you can go and have a look at that too. There's plenty of exciting info all over.
Mm. Greg Hammond is on the most recent.
That's
one.
Right. Elle, you know Greg.
Of course, we love Gregory.
Greg has his hair cut by Stoffel and tells some interesting stories.
Greg is what a good looking man. That man. But I've known him since he's 5. I can't look at him in those eyes.
But
I can't look at him like that.
You just started off by saying.
But he's a very good looking man. But I can't.
But I can't look at him.
But I tell you something, and one day I'll
ask. The conflicts in Elle.
I just can't. I can't anymore.
I know. Ben Hasbord, let me go. Bye. Cheers. I'll see you later.
All right. Bye bye, Elle. There we go. Alan Ford, everybody. Yeah, what just happened? What just happened? What was that?
We were in the Alan Ford tornado.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Now we got to put the pieces back together. What? What in the bejesus happened?
Alan admitted a lot there, but he also admitted to kissing Kate Moss.
Yeah, which is quite a big story.
Do you know what I think we should do once? It's just
now we know where the other half of that brick went, Kate Moss to kiss Alan.
We should just have a segment where we name drop someone and Alan will for sure have a story to tell about that person.
Of course, he does know these people. You can play roulette.
Kate Moss put her tongue in my mouth. I was not interested in Kate Moss. I was more interested in Bono, okay, and the male models, if I must be honest. Joanne Strauss was also there and she witnessed it. Thank you. And I... this.
What?
And do you know what? Because I was so in shock, I asked them to do it again, and then she took a, I took a photograph. Seriously, what they're doing it
I
again.
I want to see that photograph.
It was in the Sunday Times. It seriously happened.
Bring it for me, Al. We want to show Ben. Ben is the one who doesn't believe it. It's not that I don't believe it.
Ben, I'm telling
it's
you,
Alan,
it happened.
So it's probably, of course it happened, but just the fact it happened. Jane, please take Alan away from the microphone. Thank you. Jane Malachi is, she's taking control. Jane?
You're and they are not friends. You.
Jane? Has anyone noticed how Jane looks like 5 years younger since she's come back? Yeah, and despite having a child, she looks really good. Mum Jane, is everything all right in the office at the moment? How's everything looking over there? It looks a bit chaotic.
What is this show becoming?
Oh, we've got to finish soon. So
can you speak fast if you want to talk? So why are you here with me? Because they say Jane. Are you Jane these days?
Yes, ma'am.
No, are you Jane?
Yeah,
but... Oh, sorry, Papa G, you called my name.
There yeah. Go.
So what? Why is he here?
He's
why?
Got his own show for an hour. He's
no,
just...
No, you called my name here.
Yeah, I said, so he's got his own show for an hour.
And,
so
yeah.
Take him away so he can start his show because he's talking to me too much.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Mm. Everything okay, Jane?
Everything's okay, Baba G.
Are you looking for a fight with anyone today?
With Ellen, actually.
What?
With Ellen.
Why does he irritate you?
You know, he's irritating like I'm having a rash all over my body.
What did you think of him on Mandela Day? He was helpful.
It's called a rash, not a rash.
Oh my God. God forbid.
God.
Unleash the Jane. Unleash the Jane.
Daniela.
Yeah, that's the way.
There we go. All right.
That's the
okay,
one.
Let's wrap it up for this morning. Here's what you need to know. U.S. Senator John McCain has been diagnosed with brain cancer, the poor man. Of course, former U.S. presidents have offered their thoughts and prayers towards a speedy recovery. Current U.S. President Donald Trump said it was probably just a migraine and that he should stop being such a pussy. O.J. Simpson's latest parole hearing takes place this week, and if things go well, he could be out as early as October. Problem is, he was caught masturbating in his cell, and that's not allowed. He told the guards he was trying to kill a spider, but they didn't believe him, as spiders don't get that big in the state of Nevada. And finally, the Open Championship has begun, and the world's oldest golf tournament, and easily the most prestigious to win, is officially off to its start. Nine South Africans are in the field, plus Gary Player will be there to tell anyone who will listen that he's won the title 3 times and he once slept in a fairway bunker because he grew up poor. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day. Keep it together. If you're not good, take photos.
This is CliffCentral.com.